This holiday season here at From the Vault, we've been doing some digging around for some truly exciting and eclectic holiday season programming from Pacifica's history. Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and this is From the Vault. This week, we're going to hear a fascinating interview with Dr. Milana Karenga, the man who conceived the holiday Kwanzaa, with KPFK's former public affairs director, Gwen Walters. Dr. Karenga speaks about where the concept came from, its importance, and its spreading popularity among cultures beyond African Americans. The interview was conducted in studio on December 24, 1993, with listener calls.
I'm sitting with Dr. Milana Karenga, the creator of the African-American holiday Kwanzaa. Dr. Karenga is the author of 8 books, including one entitled The African-American Holiday of Kwanzaa, A Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture. He is presently professor and chair of the Department of Black Studies at Cal State in Long Beach. And welcome,
good.
Dr. Karenga.
It's good to be here, Gwen.
Yes, it's really good of you to come out this Christmas Eve morning.
I'm glad to do that.
How old is Kwanzaa? How old is the celebration? And why was it important to establish a holiday like this?
Okay. Kwanzaa, as part of the African tradition, is part of the most ancient tradition in the world. So in one sense, Kwanzaa is real old because it borrows from and builds on the ancient first fruit celebrations from Africa, which go back to the beginning of time and is recorded earliest in ancient Egyptian texts. And their holiday, because of their language, is called Pert-Em-Min. Every African culture has its own word for Kwanzaa. For example, I said in Egyptian, it's Pert-Em-Min. In Zulu, it's Umkosi. Some of the names in West Africa, Ashanti, it's Oduida. Yoruba, it's AJ, one of the words. Mthwala among the Swazi. So all of them have that. Now, in terms of its modern expression, it begins in 1966. I put it together. I created it in 1966 in the midst of the struggle of African Americans for freedom and in a struggle to return to our history. As you know, part of our struggle, one of the most important aspects of our struggle, was the struggle to return to our history. And that meant returning to our culture. And so as a culture nationalist, my argument was that until we break the monopoly that the oppressor has on our mind, liberation is not only impossible, it's unthinkable, because what you can't conceive, you can't achieve. So the question is, how do we break the culture hegemony of the dominant society? And I believe that it was institutionalized, fundamental African values that ensured our focus on the right priorities in life. You see, we believe that values are everything. So that's why these values in Kwanzaa are so important, because values are not only standards and priorities, it's also indication of your human possibility. Mm-hmm. Because what you commit to, what you are committed to, what you put first in your life dictates your human possibility. So Kwanzaa came in that value orientation thrust. It came in that re-Africanization trust. And that's what it's all about. It's an institution that houses and advances our aspirations and gives us a chance to take our past and use it as a foundation to build a more beautiful human and African future.
Gosh, it's just wonderful to listen to you speak about it. And there are 7 principles, is that correct?
Yes, there are 7 principles in Swahili.
And there are symbols for each principle.
There are 7 symbols, but the symbols don't coincide with the principles. The candles do. There are 7 candles. The candles in Kwanzaa are put in the candle holder, Kinadu, which symbolize the parent people, the African. And the symbolism here is that the candles which represent the people, which represent the principles, grow out of the people, grow out of the African people. And those principles are historically the social glue and social cement that held those societies together, gave them the humanistic character, and laid the basis for their advanced creativity. Those principles, first in Swahili, and we use Swahili because it's non-ethnic. In the 60s, I introduced Swahili as the major movement language, okay? And so it was just established like that, and we used it because it's the most widely spread and pan-African language. It's not identified just with one ethnic group. It's a pan-African language. So the 7 principles, first in Swahili and then in English, or Moja, unity. Unity in ourselves, making our principles and practice coincide. Unity in our family, in our community, and in the world African community. Second, Kujichagulia, self-determination, to define ourselves, speak for ourselves, and build for ourselves instead of always having it done for by others. And understanding that we must, in the final analysis, speak our own special culture truth and make our own unique contribution to the forward flow of human history. Ujima is the third principle. It means collective work and responsibility. Best summed up in Ture's statement that African freedom and dignity are indivisible, and that as long as any African is wounded in his or her dignity, all of us are somehow damaged, and that our future is a collective project. Fourth, Ujamaa, shared work and wealth. Fifth, Nia, purpose, the collective vocation of community and nation building. Sixth, Kuuma, creativity, taking the nothing we find daily, making something beautiful, black, and more human out. Just like Harriet Tubman, working in one of the worst situations you can imagine in the Holocaust of enslavement, freeing herself, but feeling that she had to, in fact, share this beautiful experience with others, and then redefining freedom as a collective practice rather than an individual escape. That's the beauty of creativity. Or Sojourner Truth, in the midst of the Holocaust of enslavement, beginning to talk feminism and redefining womanhood from a pink playmate to a woman in struggle, to a woman who's building society in the same way that men are, but at the same time, keeping her own gender and actually respecting her own womanhood. And then finally, of course, the last principle is Imani, faith. Faith in ourselves, faith in our creator, faith in our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers, our grandmothers and grandfathers, our elders, our children. Faith in all that makes us beautiful and strong, and faith in the righteousness and victory of our call. Faith that through hard work, long struggle, and a whole lot of love and understanding, we can again step back on the stage of human history as a free, proud, and productive people.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's a process for the establishment of self-worth, mm-hmm. self-esteem, self-sufficiency, mm-hmm. and your focus in 1966 is not much different than the focus should be in 1993.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yeah. I teach the same doctrine with developmental additions. I never go back on my blackness, and I do not disown, as so many people have done, walked away from the blackness, got out of the struggle, see it as something that's negative, when in fact it brought us to where we are now. And it's a dishonor to those people who gave their lives so that we could live fuller and more meaningful one. And it might be a small point, but I think it's important to say that Kwanzaa is not about self-esteem. It's about rootedness in your culture, knowledge of your culture, and encouragement to act and create in such a way that self-respect will come of itself. Because mm-hmm. when you focus just on self-esteem, you focus on individual orientation, and that's against African values. You must focus on standing worthy before your people. As the ancient Egyptians said, all of us must, at the end of our lives, be able to say that we are worthy to stand before history in heaven, that we have done certain things and we have lived such a life that we are worthy. And I think sometimes people, because we live in an individualistic society, they put so much emphasis on self-gratification and self-indulgence that they don't see that there is a collective aspect to what we're about as a people. And Kwanzaa helps us to do that with this in-gathering of the people, special reverence for the creator and the creation, commemoration of the past, recommitment to our highest idea, and celebration of the good of life.
Do you feel that that's happening in the African-American community today, that there is a belief and an experience of being, as you say, worthy before your people?
Well, it has diminished since the 60s. In the 60s, I mean, it was clear that you had to, in fact, take a certain position toward the struggle, that the struggle needed you and that the struggle demanded your attention and it demanded your participation. But as the struggle disengaged, as leaders were knocked off, as they were put in captivity on trumped-up charges, that they were run out of the movement, co-opted, and driven out of the country, that what happened is the movement began to dissolve and disengage, and what there was no central force to, in fact, call people to arms and action, to remind them of what Maria Stuart said. We as a people have no business standing on the sideline when so much is at stake. Therefore, she said, we are compelled to enter the field of action.
Dr. Karenga, Kwanzaa then is an exclusively African-American holiday?
Oh, it's exclusive in the same sense that Hanukkah is exclusively Jewish, as Cinco de Mayo is exclusively Mexican, as Chinese New Year is exclusively Chinese. But in a public situation, you know that other people participate in Kwanzaa, especially the clearest example of that is in school, both in elementary school and in college, that when we have these multicultural events, whites come. I go, and we're talking about whites because usually people want to know, can whites be included? They never ask, can the Mexican or the Asian or the Native American be included? It's always about white folks, so let's get it out on the table. The reality is that in elementary school, we have fought for multicultural space. We fought for the right for people to speak their own special culture truth and to have their experiences recognized as worthy of inclusion in any activities of a public nature. So naturally, when we have these multicultural stresses in school, in elementary and in high school and in college, you're going to have situations where not just blacks participate in the holiday, but other people participate in it as a school activity. That's just a normal thing. But the holiday is ours. I mean, for anyone to talk about integrating or anybody to talk about it's not really, that doesn't make sense. There's no reason to say something like that. It's like saying, well, why the Jews sticking to this? Why they got Hanukkah? Why can't all the blacks go and Native Americans and Asian and the Latino? There's no reason for that.
Well, you know, I mentioned to you just before the program began that I spent some time in Columbus, Ohio, and I know that the Kwanzaa celebrations there exclude white people. There is that happening in other parts of the country at any rate.
Well, see, what happens is that black people have this historical memory about whites, Jews and Gentiles. They believe that if they get in it, they're going to change the character of it and they can take over. Let me give you an example, and this is something I disagree with. I went to speak at a college in Connecticut, because I always speak, just about every week I'm across country, and I was speaking on Kwanzaa. The woman that met me was light. She was like, she could have been just a New Orleans black, okay? So they picked me up. She's with these clearly African people, and then she's here. So I'm wondering about her, but I said, well, you know, she's probably. So I get there, so she is in control of the Kwanzaa program. So finally I said, well, let me just check this out. What are you? And she turned out to be Jewish. Well, my argument is she shouldn't be over Kwanzaa. She says, like, I don't go to a synagogue and take over Jewish activities of Hanukkah. You can't do that. Even if I wanted to participate in the Hanukkah event, I couldn't take it over. And that's what blacks are afraid of, is that the whites will come in and change the character and course of the holiday. And really, given our history, I understand that. But I don't think they can take over our holiday because we are on solid ground and culturally rooted ourselves. Just like, for example, just to make a quick point, they did not establish the holiday, so they can't stop it. I didn't go and ask the white man in Washington or in Sacramento to have a holiday. I declared it, and black people responded. And you're now 18 million people all over the world in this country. I went to Canada to celebrate, in London to celebrate, in Europe, in Africa, in the Caribbean, in South America, especially in Brazil. And as I said earlier, even now in India, somebody called and wanted to celebrate.
Fantastic.
You're listening to Gwen Walters interview Dr. Milana Karenga, the founder of the African-American holiday Kwanzaa. And this is From the Vault, the Pacifica Radio Archive's weekly program that brings our history out of the vault and onto the radio.
Yeah, in your 1993 statement on the message and vision of Kwanzaa, you discuss the vision and values of Kwanzaa, and you point out five fundamental activities which celebrate family, community, and culture.
Right.
I want to read the second fundamental activity as stated in your message. Secondly, Kwanzaa is a time of special reverence for the Creator and the creation. It is then a time of thanksgiving for the good in life, for life itself, for love, for friendship, for parents and children, the elders and youth, man and woman, and for family, community, and culture. As a harvest celebration, Kwanzaa is also a time of thanksgiving for the earth and all that is on it, humans, birds, animals, plants, and all living things, water, air, land, and all natural resources. Thus, Kwanzaa is also a time for moral commitment to honor the Creator by honoring the creation and recommitting ourselves to respect and preserve it. Now, that is beautiful. I mean, it's profound. And it really sounds spiritually all-inclusive. Yeah. I mean, I don't imagine that there are people of any particular color or culture who would not adhere
see
to that
beauty. In it.
Beauty
yeah.
yeah, to
see,
that
that's,
feeling.
That's the beauty of African culture, going all the way back to classical ancient Egyptian civilization. It taught us that any real message that is good for your people, if it is human in its content, spiritual in its grounding, it speaks not just to your people, it speaks to the world. Therefore, people in the ancient time called Egypt, not just the light of Northeast Africa or even the light of Africa, it was called the light of the world. And Jew and Gentile, Hittite, Roman, Greek, Persian, Libyan, all came to study there. And my argument is that the principles of Kwanzaa and the message of Kwanzaa has a universal message for people of goodwill. It is rooted in our culture. We speak as Africans, but we speak not just to ourselves. We, in fact, speak to the world. And that's continuing that tradition of, in fact, teaching the world and making our contribution to the forward flow of human history.
I am Gwen Anderson Walters, and I am honored to be joined today by Dr. Malana Karenga, the creator of Kwanzaa. Dr. Karenga, I want to ask you about the future. What do you foresee in terms of the Kwanzaa celebration? It is, we didn't mention this, I don't think, it is a seven-day celebration, the 26th
yes.
through the 26th
1st.
Of December through January 1st.
Yes.
Do you see it expanding as it has begun to expand? Or do you see, you mentioned that in some ways the feeling and the significance has diminished from 66. However, in other ways, it's expanded.
Well, not the holiday. Holiday is growing tremendously. I had said that the sense of struggle, the sense of rootedness in the general black community had diminished as a result of the disengagement of the movement. But Kwanzaa, on the contrary, has grown. And so what, again, Kwanzaa does is plays a role, an instrument, a struggle of organizing people, of giving them a chance to ingather, reinforce the bonds between them, and focus on positive culture action. That's a very important thing to me. I see Kwanzaa continuously expanding, and I see it also as contributing to helping rebuild the movement, because the future of black people depend upon their rebuilding their own movement and mm-hmm. keeping community, family, community, and culture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, our lines are lighting up. I looked over here and saw that there is not one line empty, so let's go right to the telephones. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Karenga, I am more than happy to let Africans be in charge of Kwanzaa, and especially you. I am more than happy to sit at your feet and receive this message of hope and goodwill this morning. And I just want to add that I don't have a problem with authority. I just have a problem with unjust authority. And so I hear experience, strength, and hope from you. I always did, and you make my heart glad.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Oh, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Dr. Karenga.
Good morning.
Thank you for teaching this morning.
You're much too kind.
I wanted to sort of revisit the concept of values, because
yes.
I see it in a certain way of holding people together, that you just operate better as a human being and in your contribution to your collective
right.
if you do have values and if you do have them clearly in your mind. So if you'd sort of revisit that, and also the principle of no diminishment of anybody when you celebrate yourself. That is
right.
strictly not a diminishing of anyone else, because some people still get it confused. I don't know whether you have that experience or not, but a lot of people are still confused about that.
That's
so
right.
If you'd revisit those two things, I'd appreciate it. And thanks a whole lot for coming.
Thank you. Much too kind. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
All right.
The first question is the question of values. You know, I created Kwanzaa out of my philosophy of Kawaida, which is a culture nationalist philosophy that argues that the key crisis and challenge in black life is the crisis and challenge of culture, that what Africans must do is find the best of their culture, both current and ancient, and use it as a foundation to envision and bring into being a new future for themselves. And that those values represent, one, commitments, they represent standards of and priorities, but they also represent categories of possibility. Again, values are, first of all, categories of importance, categories of priority, and categories of human possibility. In other words, depending upon what values you have, depending upon what categories of importance and priorities you have, that determines your human possibility. People that have more records than they have books, as we always said in the 60s, and dance their lives away, can't have many human possibilities. But if people that self-consciously plans its future and struggles to bring it into being, its future is bright. As the text of Sesotho says, those who plan for the future are not forgotten. And those who do well, they are remembered. Because to do that which is of value is forever. A people called forth by their work does not die, for their name is raised and remembered because of it. And that's the teaching for African in terms of values. And I've taught that, as you know, since 65. A lot of people didn't understand the importance of values. They thought everything else was important. But my argument was education, jobs, all of that depends upon having the right value, because you could have access to education and then get there and not go. Go to the student union, play bid whist, watch those soap operas. You could have a job, but you could get the money and use it for the wrong thing. You must be rooted in life-affirming and collective value. The second part of your question had to do with reminding people that being African does not diminish anybody else from being what they are. And in fact, that's the beauty of Kwanzaa, is that it reinforces multicultural principle. There are three fundamental principles of multiculturalism. The first is mutual respect for peoples and culture. The second is mutual respect for each people's right and responsibility to speak its own special cultural truth and to make its own unique contribution to the forward flow of social and human history. And the third principle at base is that we should, in spite of our diversity, constantly seek common ground in the midst of the society in which we live. And one of the beautiful things about Kwanzaa is that it offers universal principles that speaks to not only African people, but to the world. But we speak from our own standpoint, and we don't have to stand on anybody's head in order to get height. That's the problem with the oppressor, is that he feels he has to diminish us in order to feel his own humanity. And the reality is he can only feel his humanity when he is no longer oppressing people, calling people names, and sowing the seeds of dissension between people.
I'd like you to talk a little bit about how you have evolved over the years. You seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you seem to be in a different place than you were perhaps in 1966.
Mm-hmm. We all are, but I have not changed in a negative way. That is to say, I don't turn my back on my blackness. I don't denounce anything I taught in 1965. I've only made developmental additions. So I've developed, but I have not changed my fundamental assumptions about black people, about culture, about the need for culture grounding to do anything, okay? And certainly struggle has made me stronger. See, struggle wears a lot of people down, but struggle has made me stronger, more determined. There is nothing that could change me. If the world cracked open, I would make the same point. I would move around the crack, but I would, in fact, make the same point. So this is what has sustained me. Is I feel good about what is happening with black people. I believe that regardless of the problems we have, we can solve them. I take seriously our identity, the three fundamental identities that I say black people have. Fathers and mothers of human civilization, sons and daughters of the Holocaust of enslavement, and authors and heirs of the reaffirmation of the 60. Each of these identities challenges me to create also. In classical African civilization, as sons and as fathers and mothers of civilization, what we got here was creativity and ethical living. Do you know that the oldest ethical texts are from ancient Egypt, from Africa? And Egypt is an African Spider Liz Taylor and Richard Burton movie. Egypt is the only country, as I've said so many times, that ever had to justify its geography. That is to say, explain why it's in Africa when it shouldn't be there if races are right. But in this place, these are the oldest texts. And as I said, Jew and Gentile came to learn there, Roman and Greek. We wrote the first social justice text. That's what I was saying to the brother and the caller before, is that if you're going to talk about ancient Egypt, make it alive now. Make it mean something to us. Make it enable us to move effectively in the history we live in now. So I'm challenged to stress always the ethical because of that history and the creative. Second, the Holocaust of enslavement. What is the lesson there? Human durability and adaptive vitality, achieving against all odds. There was a law against us reading and writing, and yet Fred Douglass read and write. There was a law against us being free, yet Harriet Tubman not only freed herself, but went to free other people and taught the collective nature of freedom.
It sounds like you are teaching and you are urging people to be responsible for their own realities.
You have to. You must. The European oppressor is responsible for our oppression, but we're responsible for our liberation.
That was an interview with Dr. Milana Karenga, the creator of Kwanzaa, speaking with KPFK Los Angeles' former public affairs director, Gwen Walters, on December 24th, 1993. From the Vault is produced, written, and edited by Christopher Sprinkle, and executive produced by Brian DeShazer and the Pacifica Radio Archives. From the Vault's star volunteer is Karen Anonia. From the Vault is presented as part of the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Project, which is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts and grants from the Grammy Foundation, the Ford Foundation, University of California Berkeley's Moffitt Library, the Pacifica Foundation, and from contributions from Pacifica station listeners. From the Vault's theme music is by Kevin Drum Holiday. Many thanks and holiday wishes go to the Pacifica Radio Archives staff. And finally, all of us here at From the Vault and the Pacifica Radio Archives wish you a happy holiday season and a happy new year. We'd like to also send a special happy holidays to our soldiers serving in Afghanistan, Iraq, and everywhere else around the world. Here's hoping you are able to come home soon, safe and sound. And in the true spirit of this time of year, peace to you all. I'm Brian DeShazer for the Pacifica Radio Archives. Thank you for listening.